I hope everyone is doing well. There's different kinds of meditation practice. One kind of meditation that's used quite a lot in Tibetan Buddhism is visualization. I was thinking to lead a relatively simple practice of visualization so you can get a taste of that. So what we'll do is we'll start with a few minutes of meditation on the breath, as we did yesterday. In the Tibetan tradition, at least in the Gelugpa tradition that I've been following mostly, they don't use meditation on the breath extensively. It's recommended that we focus on our breath just for a few minutes before doing other meditations. So it's used more as a sort of preparatory practice to get our mind to calm down and be more quiet and not so full of thoughts before we do other practices. So it's not wrong to do or anything like that, but it's just not part of the tradition that I've learned. But I personally have found meditation on the breath really helpful because I have a very busy mind. It's very hard to stop my mind from thinking. And I need something like that just to, you know, be more calm and more focused, more quiet inside. And I think many Western people, perhaps Americans more than others, I don't know. We do tend to have very busy minds, very active. And so it is helpful to have this practice of just watching the breath coming in and going out. Even if you just do it for a few minutes, it can be very helpful to calm down. So anyway, we'll do that for a few minutes. And then we'll go right into the visualization. And so I'll describe the visualization and just do the best you can to follow along. Now, some people find it easy to visualize. Perhaps people who are artists, for example, or architects, and you know, use that faculty of the mind in their work, and so it's well trained, and they may find it easier to visualize, to create. Visualize means like making a mental picture, having a mental picture of something. Actually, we all have this ability, and it's something that just happens kind of naturally and spontaneously. For example, when we're asleep at night and we're dreaming, right? All of our five senses, seeing and hearing, have shut down. And so it's just our mind, our mental, we call it the mental consciousness, mental sense that's operating. And that's able to create, you know, incredible whole stories, movies, right? And then even in the daytime, if we pay attention to our mind, we might notice pictures coming up in our mind. Pictures of people, pictures of places, pictures of food when we're hungry, when we're really hungry and our stomach is empty and growling, you know. Pictures of whatever kind of food we like to eat start popping up in our mind. So the mind does have this ability to visualize. And it does it anyway by itself. So in this practice, this meditative practice, we tap into that ability and develop it, we cultivate it. And in the Tibetan tradition, they sometimes do really complex visualizations. Some of you may have encountered that or read about that. So we won't do anything like that. We'll just do something really, really simple. Like I'll ask you to visualize a ball of light, a globe of light that represents all the positive energy, positive qualities that you can think of. And so try to think of a ball, you know, like here, I have this snowball here. So we all know what a ball looks like, but it's made of light, totally light. And so don't think of like a light bulb, because that's made of glass with wires and I don't know, whatever inside. Think of a rainbow. You know, when we see a rainbow in the sky, sometimes it can look so vivid, almost solid, almost like we can touch it, but it's not. It's just an appearance of light because of the sun shining on particles of water in the air. So it's just an appearance of light, but not really solid. So try to make this your visualization like that, made of light, round, and you can make it whatever color you want. You could even make it a rainbow if you want, something that's pleasant, beautiful, something you enjoy looking at. But yeah, think of it as just pure light, not something solid that you could actually touch and feel. And yeah, and then we'll think that that represents all the good qualities that exist and that we want to have more of in ourselves. We do have all the good qualities that there are, but sometimes they're not so well developed. And so in Tibetan Buddhism, there are these practices where we visualize Buddha images, Shakyamuni Buddha or other Buddhas. Tara is a female Buddha. Chenrezig is the Buddha of compassion. So we visualize these figures who represent these positive qualities. And we start off visualizing them outside of ourselves. And then at the end of the practice, we imagine them dissolving into us. And then we become filled with that positive energy, those positive qualities. And we try to feel, I am like that too. Because our tendency sometimes is to feel, you know, we might see out there, we might see or hear about people that we admire for their good qualities. And we may think, oh, wow, if only I could be that way, but I'm not, I'm horrible, I'm lousy, I'm a loser. Some people feel that way, maybe not everybody, but but I think everybody, to a certain extent, you know, we tend to put ourselves down and feel other people are better than me and I'm really low and I'm lousy. And yeah, sometimes that can go to an extreme and we really feel I'm just the worst person in the world and nobody could possibly like me and I could never do anything worthwhile. So we have these voices, this kind of story in our minds sometimes, and sometimes we believe in it, we buy into it, we think, yes, it's true, I'm horrible. And so that's not true. According to Buddhism says we have tremendous potential, positive potential. We have all the good qualities that exist: wisdom, compassion, love, generosity, courage, and so on. We have those qualities inside of us, but sometimes they're just kind of hidden, hard to access. So we have these practices to bring out these positive qualities and develop confidence in our positive qualities and cultivate them more and more and more. And so this is one of those practices, you know, to imagine coming, these positive qualities coming into ourselves and then feeling, yes, I do have those qualities. I am like that. You know, so it's kind of a way of pouring water onto the seeds of our good qualities so that they can start to grow more and more. So that's just an introduction to the meditation, and let's try it and see how it goes. Yeah, so I was starting to say about how some people find it easy to visualize, but other people find it difficult. I've always found it very difficult to visualize. But what I find is if you just keep doing it, it does get easier. And the most important thing isn't so much having a perfect, clear, detailed visualization, but just doing the best that you can. And the important thing is to feel that it's there. You know, just to tell yourself it's there, even if it doesn't appear clearly, it is there. Yeah, and just try to feel it. It's presence outside first and then inside yourself. It's a bit like when we're kids and we play these games with our siblings and our friends. You know, we pretend that we're, I don't know, when I was a kid, we would play Tarzan and Jane, and we'd swing through the trees, and we had a tree house. So we'd play in the trees like Tarzan, or cowboys and Indians, or doctors and nurses. I don't know what kids nowadays play, but anyway, it's just part of childhood that you play these games. And we don't worry so much if it's true or not, right? We just get into it and pretend and have a good time, have a lot of fun. So it's a bit like that with visualization, you know, don't worry so much about if it's true or not, if you could see it or not, just get into it, pretend and see what kind of effect that has on you. Okay, so make yourself comfortable. Try to sit straight. Let your shoulders relax. You can have your hands resting in your lap in whatever way is comfortable. You can have your eyes closed if you're more comfortable that way. But we do want to stay awake, not fall asleep during meditation. So if you do feel a bit sleepy, then it's better to keep the eyes open a little bit so there's some light coming in, and just have your eyes looking down onto the table or your lap or whatever's right in front of you. And try to be as relaxed as possible. I won't do the body scan like we did yesterday, but just very quickly, have a look at your body with your mind and see if you notice if there's tension anywhere in your body. And if you do notice tension anywhere, maybe in your shoulders or back or your tummy, wherever, just momentarily put your awareness at that place and just tell it to relax. Relax, take it easy. Nothing to worry about, nothing to be afraid of. And I believe yesterday, Venerable Churin talked about motivation, the importance of having a positive motivation for the things that we do. So a simple way of doing that is to say to yourself something like, may this meditation be helpful, be beneficial for myself, for others, for the world. Now be aware of your breathing and try to do this without controlling your breathing. Sometimes when people try to watch their breathing, they get into a kind of control mode, controlling their breathing. So try to avoid that. Try to just have a light, control-free awareness of the body breathing on its own. The body knows how to breathe, does it all the time. So just allow the breath to flow in and out. And then with your mind, your awareness, just let your awareness rest on the breath flowing in and out, the sensations. So the way we know the breathing is by sensations. We feel sensations in our body, the belly, the chest, maybe around the nostrils. Just be aware of those sensations in your body as your breath is flowing in and flowing out. So just let your awareness rest on the breathing without thinking about anything else. And if thoughts do come into your mind, which is probable, you can notice that they're there. Try not to get upset about them or excited about them. Try not to react in any way and just say, not now. Let them go and come back to observing the breathing. Thoughts are like clouds in the sky. They're not permanent. Just like clouds are not always in the sky. They come, they're there a little while, and then they go. Our thoughts are like that. They come into our mind, but they don't stay permanently. They pass on their own. Just let the thoughts come and go like clouds coming and going in the sky without being distracted by them or disturbed by them. Just mainly focus on the breathing coming in and going out. Okay, so now I'll start guiding the visualization practice. So continue trying to stay focused as much as you can on this practice without letting your mind get distracted to other things that are not part of the practice. So start by bringing to mind some positive qualities, good qualities that you notice in other people, and you like those qualities, you admire them, and you may also feel that you would like to have those qualities. You would like to be more like that yourself. So these other people could be people you actually know, people in your family or friends, or they could be public figures that you hear about on the news or internet or social media. People like the Dalai Lama or Greta Thunberg, celebrities, politicians, whatever. And you just feel, oh, I really like that person because of such and such. You just spend some time thinking about those qualities that you notice and admire in other people and would like to have more of in yourself. So now, imagine those positive qualities and all other positive qualities that you may not have thought of. Imagine them appearing in the form of a ball of light, a sphere of light. And this can be either in the space above your head or in the space in front of you, not down below, but maybe at the level of your forehead and a few feet away. Wherever is more comfortable for you to imagine it. This ball of light can be whatever size you wish, big, small, medium size. It can be whatever color you wish, something beautiful and pleasant, inspiring. And remember, it's not like a light bulb made of something hard like glass, but it's just pure, transparent, intangible light, a bit like a rainbow. So try to imagine it as beautiful as you can. Bright and clear. And don't worry if you find it difficult to visualize. Some people do find it difficult to visualize. So just do the best you can, even if it appears and disappears, or it's not steady, it bounces around. Try to keep it steady. Try to keep it clear. But if that's difficult, don't worry. Just do your best. And the important thing is to feel that it's there. Pretend that it's there. And try not to have thoughts like, oh, this is silly, this is a game, it's not true. Put those thoughts aside and just pretend, imagine that this ball of light representing all positive qualities is there in the space in front of you or above your head. Now feel the wish to bring it into yourself. How nice it would be if I could have that light and all that positive energy inside of me, part of me, that I can have with me all the time, carry around with me all day. And then invite this ball of light to come into you. And you can imagine that happening in whatever way is comfortable. You can just imagine it coming right into you and dissolving into you. You can imagine it kind of melting into liquid light, flowing into you, into the top of your head or in through your skin, all the pores of your body, whatever way works. But bring it inside of you. And then imagine this light filling you, all the parts of your body. Imagine it like a waterfall, a river, a stream flowing all the way down through your body, down through your torso and your legs, all the way down to your toes. And down through your arms, all the way to your fingertips. And filling you up all the way to the top of your head. Imagine it going into every part of your body, all the organs and bones, and even the tiny parts of your body, cells, molecules, atoms, subatomic particles. And all the spaces in between these particles. Imagine every part of your body, all the way out to your skin, including your skin, and your hair, and your nails. They all get filled with this light. And if you can, imagine all those solid parts of your body transforming into light themselves. They kind of dissolve and lose their solidity and they become light. And imagine your mind being filled with all the positive qualities the light represented. And any negative or opposite qualities that you are aware of in yourself, imagine them dissolving and disappearing. Your anger, your selfishness, your anxiety, your depression, whatever obstacles or bad qualities you may feel in yourself, imagine those dissolving and disappearing and being replaced by all those positive qualities. And just let your mind rest in that experience for a short time. Your body transformed into a body of light. Your mind transformed into a totally positive, pure state of mind, full of only good qualities. So looks like some people don't want to leave that state. That's good. And you don't have to, actually. You can, you know, try to hold on to it after we do a meditation. And if we feel some good state of mind, some peaceful state of mind, some positive state of mind, it's good to try not to just leave it behind when you finish your meditation and go and do other things, but try to keep it with you. Keep that positive experience going and bring it into your interactions with other people, the work that you do, and so on. So do any of you have a question about that, or did you experience any difficulty, challenges that you'd like to ask about? Anyone have difficulty visualizing?
I might have a small question, if that's okay. So I found that when I was first starting to visualize the ball of light, it was almost an emotional experience as well. Like it just visualizing that. Is that a normal part of this, or is that to be expected?
What do you mean by an emotional experience?
I don't know. I just felt almost slightly like overwhelmed, but in a positive way, by the idea of having this much love and compassion in front of me.
I mean, it's completely normal that when we do meditation practices, emotions can come up. And it's also completely normal that you start crying. I have shed many tears sitting on my meditation cushion. I think that's a positive thing. You know, we have emotions. We have a lot of emotions inside of ourselves and they're kind of stuck. And so, you know, to let that out can be very helpful. As long as you don't go overboard and you just sit there crying for hours, that's not particularly helpful. But, you know, what I do, I don't know what other people do, but I just try to look at that and ask, what's this all about? What's going on here? Sometimes it's joy. Sometimes it's buried pain that I never had a chance to talk with somebody about and get help with. And it's just like coming, you know, it's just like, wow. So you learn a lot about yourself that way. You know, you kind of release things that need to be released. And I mean, we do have a lot of stuff inside from the experiences we had in our life. And we can't just kind of shove that stuff aside and then do meditation as if that's something completely separate. Because meditation is working with our mind. And there's all kinds of stuff in our mind that we need to look at and understand and process. So yeah, if, I'm just saying in general, if emotions come up in meditation, it's not a bad thing. It's an opportunity to learn about our mind and about ourselves and about our needs. And sometimes you can do that on your own. Sometimes you can process that by yourself. But other times it might be too much for you and you need help. So then you can talk with either a teacher, a spiritual teacher, or another friend who's meditating and maybe has a bit more experience than you do. If it's something really complex, you may need help from a therapist or something. But no, I don't think it's something wrong or bad to have emotions surfacing when we do meditation.
Thank you very much.
I see a hand up. Mackenzie?
Yeah. So when I was doing the meditation, right now I am going through some really bad anxiety. And I could definitely feel it. And I could piece it together. You know, I could feel where the anxiety was coming from physically and that it wasn't really connected to my mind. It was a really conflicting experience. And I don't really know how to calm the physical part of it down so that it doesn't totally overwhelm the positive experience of the meditation.
So you're saying you feel the anxiety in some part of the body?
Yeah. It feels almost like I could physically separate it from my mind. I could feel, you know, the action, my adrenal glands firing. And it kind of didn't interrupt the meditation, but it made it difficult.
Yeah. Well, that sounds kind of similar to the previous question, that something else is coming up. I mean, one thing I have found helpful, because I've had some experiences like that some part of my body will feel like, ah. And one thing I learned is if you try to find some other part of your body which doesn't have anxiety, like maybe the bottom of your feet or your buttocks or your legs, sitting on your chair. And so maybe there's no anxiety in those places or your elbow, you know. So try to find some place in your body where you don't have anxiety and then switch your attention, move your attention to that anxiety-free place and just stay with that for a little while. That helps, because otherwise if there's some place in the body that has anxiety and we get overly obsessed with that, then it can seem like that's all there is this anxiety, and I don't know what to do with it, and it's overwhelming. So if we realize that's not completely true, there's anxiety in one place of the body, but not in other places. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, they call this, you can look it up online, it's called pendulation. Pendulation. So it's actually a kind of technique, method that can be used for people suffering from trauma. And yeah, I found that really, really helpful. So anyone else?
So for me, I'm not sure if anybody else experiences that, but I tend to, when I get into meditation, start feeling pressure like right behind the eyes, right around the bone of the eyebrow.
Here.
Yes. And it doesn't always go away.
Well, I haven't had that particular experience, and I haven't heard anyone else describe that particular experience, but I've heard lots of stories of things that people experience when they practice meditation. Sometimes they can be physical sensations. Sometimes they can be appearances that sort of seem to sort of invade their mind, or yeah, the body can even start moving by itself. So it does happen that people can have unusual and unwanted experiences happen when they meditate. So don't feel bad or don't feel worried, don't feel anxious. I guess that's one thing, is, you know, don't worry about it. Because if your mind gets worried and obsessed and you start wondering what's going on, what is this, you know, that can actually make it worse rather than better. So try to just notice it and then go back to whatever you're meditating on. And sometimes that will just go away by itself. It will go away by itself. And if it doesn't go away, you could try to get help, maybe even from a doctor, because sometimes these things could be related to physical, you know, something physically happening in your body. You could check it with a doctor, but it also may happen that the doctor will check and say, I can't find anything wrong with you. Actually, in Tibetan medicine, is based on Ayurvedic medicine, an ancient Indian method. And they talk about what are called three humors, wind, bile, and phlegm. And they say, you know, we have these, I don't fully understand, we have these three aspects of our physical body, and they are related to three states of mind, what we call in Buddhism the three poisons: attachment, anger, and ignorance. So attachment, anger, and ignorance are connected with these three humors. And so if we have too much anger, for example, that's related to bile, and that can get out of balance and cause certain kinds of illness. But lung, or wind, in the lung is the Tibetan name, wind is the English name, that's airs or energy winds in our body. And that's more related to desire or attachment. And if we have excessive desire or attachment, that can get out of balance. And this is actually a very common thing that happens with meditators. When people are trying to practice meditation, their lung or energy winds can get out of balance and cause sensations in their body. A very common place is here in the heart chakra, the center of the chest. So you can sometimes have piercing pain or a heavy feeling, almost like you got a rock in there. But it can also sometimes happen in the head. I've had that as well. Sometimes pressure inside the head, almost feeling like there's something in there that wants to explode out. So I'm just giving this explanation because it could be that. It could be lung. It could be the energy winds. The Chinese term for this is qi, as in qigong or tai chi. And in Sanskrit, it's I think it's prana. So if you study yoga, you may hear about that, prana, like pranayama. So they say we have these energy winds in our body. And when we practice meditation, we're doing something unusual. You know, we're trying to sit still, which is unusual. Often we're moving. And also we're trying to keep our mind still, which is very unusual, because usually our mind is moving all over the place. So we're kind of, in a way, compressing our physical and mental energy when we try to meditate. And that can lead to some resistance or some reaction in our internal energies. So that's one explanation as to why these unusual experiences can occur.
That makes a lot of sense, because lately I've actually been trying to detach, kind of like just from everything, just material belongings and all that stuff. So what you said about attachment makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because we have, I mean, attachment is probably our most prevalent affliction. You know, we get angry sometimes, but probably not all the time. But attachment is almost always on. So many, you know, just things we see and hear and smell and taste, you know, attachment gets turned on. Yeah, so, yeah. And I think that's probably the case with me, because I used to suffer a lot from lung. And I was trying so hard to overcome my attachment. I was young. I was 21 when I first started practicing Buddhism. And I just wanted to be a good nun and not have any attachment at all. And I was really trying to stop my attachment. So I think attachment itself was just kind of freaking out, causing all these imbalances in the body. Yeah, so we have to go easy on ourselves. It's wonderful to have aspirations like, I don't want to have any attachments and I don't want to get angry. But realistically, it takes time. It takes time to change ourselves. We can't do it all at once. And we can't do it by forcing ourselves to change. So we have to be really easy on ourselves and kind to ourselves and patient with ourselves. That's a big mistake that I made when I was starting out. I wanted to change really fast, immediately. And then I got really angry at myself and upset with myself that I wasn't changing as fast as I wanted to. So I was kind of beating myself up. I still have attachment, beat, beat, beat. I still have anger, beat, beat, beat. And that's totally counterproductive. Okay. So maybe you heard about this already from Venerable Children or from Russell Coles, but that doesn't work. It just makes things worse. So we really need a lot of kindness, patience, and compassion for ourselves. You can think of it like a child. If you have a child, probably, maybe none of you have children yet, you're too young, but you know, you probably have younger brothers and sisters, or maybe you sometimes babysit for kids. So, you know, children have this energy, and you do have to discipline children, but you have to do it with kindness and compassion and gentleness and patience, and not be violent and aggressive towards a child. Otherwise, the child will just get, you know, it's not good for them. So it's similar with ourselves, with our mind. I used the example yesterday of the puppy, you know, training a puppy. You have to do it with kindness. Training a child, teaching a child, you have to do it with kindness. So same with ourselves, with our own mind. We have to be kind to ourselves and try to change, try to be better, try to be, you know, not attached and not selfish and so on. But understand that it takes time to do that. It takes time to change. And we can't do it through force. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, one more. Let's see, one more hand up.
Hi there. Hi. I just had a question that sometimes I experience a lot during meditation. It's my eyes will kind of just forcibly open, and then I'll like try to like close them again, and then I feel obviously like I'm tension, that I'm forcing it, so I try to relax, and then I just kind of feel like my eyes slowly kind of opening up on their own, and I find it distracting when I'm trying to focus. And so I'm not sure if I'm overcompensating.
When your eyes are opening, is it because you want to look at things, or
no? I'm just like, I'll just be meditating, and then one of my eyelids will sort of start like opening up on its own.
Yeah, because in some Buddhist traditions, you're taught not to close your eyes. You meditate with your eyes open. So it's actually not wrong or bad to have your eyes open when you meditate. For example, in Zen, I believe, I haven't done much Zen, but I think, you know, they practice sitting facing a wall and with the eyes open and just not looking, not focusing on anything, but just keeping the eyes open and then, you know, focusing internally. Also in Tibetan Buddhism, some traditions, you meditate with your eyes kind of half open and just focusing on space. And in our tradition, Gelug tradition, we're taught not to close our eyes because that can lead to sleepiness and dullness. So we actually should have our eyes open just partially. So if your eyes are opening on their own, maybe don't resist that and don't fight it. Just let it happen and try not to get distracted by visual objects. So just focus on it, you know, a point in space or a point on the floor or on the wall or whatever's in front of you. And just try that and see if that helps.
I hadn't thought of that, as kind of obvious as it sounds. I was just like, oh, today's just not a good day for meditating. And I just get up and go do something else.
Yeah.
I guess because I was hyper-focused on trying to meditate with my eyes closed, because that's typically, I don't get sleepy when I meditate with my eyes closed, and I can actually meditate in Savasana pose on my back is actually when I can relax. I tend to hold a lot more tension when I'm sitting up with my back straight or with my legs crossed. I'll get distracted, my knees or something will fall asleep, or I'll lose sensation in one of my legs. So then I'll just stretch them out. And then I'm like, I might as well just lay down in Savasana pose. And then that's really like when I can best focus and meditate, and I don't get sleepy. I have never fallen asleep during meditation. There's been times where I'm like meditating at night right before bed. I'm like, okay, well, it makes sense that I'm getting sleepy while I'm meditating because I've been up for 18, 20 hours and I should probably just go to bed now. And that, but I was doing it to sort of calm my mind down before going to bed so that I could actually fall asleep and not wake up in the middle of the night.
Mm. Yeah. So the Buddha said, you can meditate in any position. He mentioned four positions: sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. And in fact, he advised his followers, his monastic followers who were staying with him, to try to be in a mindful state, a meditative state, at all times in all those positions. I mean, for most of us, it's very difficult to do, especially if we have a lot of things to, work to do and so on. But trying to maintain mindfulness and awareness and keeping the mind in a positive state, no matter what position our body is in. So it's actually helpful to learn that meditation isn't confined to sitting, something you do when you're sitting. And then when you get up and move and do other things, oh, that's another state of mind. So it is important to try to keep a meditative state of mind, not as concentrated as when we're sitting, but to a certain extent, keep that positive energy going in all our actions. It sounds like I'm working on that. Well, I was planning to lead another meditation, but we don't have time. I'll do it tomorrow, because I think Venerable Chodron yesterday spoke about loving kindness, metta. And also Russell talked about compassion. So I wanted to do a meditation related to that, but we'll do that tomorrow. And anyway, the meditation we did do earlier was kind of related to that. I hope that when you were thinking about the positive qualities that you admire in others and would like to have in yourself, that you did include compassion and loving kindness. Those are really, really important qualities in Buddhism, but also in all real, genuine spiritual and religious traditions, they all talk about the importance of kindness and compassion. And we do have those qualities in us, but they just need to be nurtured and developed more and more. And actually, the word I mentioned the other day, the word for meditation in Tibetan is gom, which means to familiarize. And in Sanskrit, the term is bhavana, which my understanding is means cultivate, similar to like when you are growing vegetables or flowers in your garden in a field. We use that word cultivate, cultivating crops. So the Buddha used that word to talk about our mind. We're trying to cultivate positive qualities in our mind. The seeds are there. Maybe even little sprouts are there, little shoots are there. And we need to nourish those seeds, nourish our little seeds, our little sprouts of kindness and compassion and wisdom and patience and so on. So that's really what we're trying to do in meditation, is cultivating, growing those plants or crops of positive qualities. So, for example, meditation on loving kindness, we sit there and generate a feeling of loving kindness. And then we think of different people and send that energy of loving kindness to them. May you be happy. May you be happy. May you be happy. May I be happy. We also have to make sure we include ourselves and send loving kindness to ourselves. So we just have like 2 minutes. If there's one last question you want to ask.
One quick question. So when you visualize the ball of light in the meditation that you were just leading, should we picture it being in the room that we are currently in, for example, or like, can it be like, I don't know, just sitting like amidst like darkness, like should we just be focusing on the light or try to place it within our actual surroundings?
So I have to confess, this is a meditation that I invented myself. But it's based on this traditional Tibetan practice of visualizing a Buddha or, you know, Buddha figures, Tara and so on. So when we do that kind of practice, we are advised to visualize, well, in some cases, you visualize this deity above your head, not right on top of your head, but, you know, a few inches above your head. In other cases, you visualize the deity in front of you, at the level of your forehead, and they actually say two meters away, which is a bit far, I find, especially if you're in a small room that, you know, wouldn't fit. So I just say, you know, a few feet away. And so my understanding is it is in the same space where you are, the same place where you are, close to you. Yeah. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to, if it's close to you, and then when you bring it into yourself, it doesn't have to come from far, far away. It's more convenient. Yeah. Okay, so we'll stop there, and let's just make a mental dedication of the positive energy we've generated in this session. We started off with a positive motivation, wanting to benefit ourselves and others in the world. And we did some meditation and had some discussion about meditation. So this was a really good thing to do. We created some good energy, positive energy. So now let's mentally share this positive energy with others and the world. May it bring genuine peace and happiness, freedom from suffering, and eventually enlightenment for all living beings. Thank you.